Well, hello, internet friends near and far. Welcome to the final episode of Parks and Conversation. And this
Wait, what? What do you mean? Like we're done?
Well, with this series.
Of Parks and Rec.
Of Parks and Rec, yeah.
Okay.
So Parks and Conversation will also come to a ignoble conclusion. I don't know if I use that word right, but because it'll be a new show in the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. You just worried me. We hadn't discussed that. So I was like, oh, wow.
All right. Well, we is Jason. That's me. And then the other voice is Jeremy. Say hello, Jeremy.
Hey, that's me. How's it going?
So good. So good.
Strong start to the finale.
Yeah. You know, the best way to, you know, wrap up a conversation around a show has taken 3 years is to not realize that you're wrapping up the conversation around the show.
Yeah, I forgot that's what we're doing today.
The last show. So
let's do this.
And we'll do like we talked about doing a retrospective, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll do that. But this is like the last like legit thing that we have from the Parks universe. And because we already did the COVID special as episode 2.
Yeah.
So we don't need to go back and do that again because that was not amazing.
It was a thing that happened.
It was a thing that happened when we were all desperate for things to happen.
Yeah.
Man.
John Krasinski was telling us about good news. I mean, it seems like so long ago.
Oh, man, that's right. Right. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
It was simpler times when we were afraid for everything. And now it's more complicated times where we are also afraid for everything.
Yeah.
But this time, in our fear for everything, we can leave the house.
It's true.
So it's even more scary. You mean other people are going to be out there? So, yeah, we don't have to take shifts to go to the grocery store.
Wipe down everything you bring into your house.
Oh, my word. And we laugh, but, you know, COVID is still out there, everybody. So please be safe. Jeremy just had COVID. So.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, it was.
My entire family got it pretty much. And like twice, I think, back to like in a row, I think we actually mutated our own strain within our household. So
congratulations.
It just kept going around like a nest of bats. What is a group of bats called?
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
The gross of bats.
144 bats. That's all. They kick everybody else out. Wow. Numbers joke. Awesome.
Is 144 a gross?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like if you buy a gross of something, like I'll have 144 like donuts,
a
please.
Dozen dozens?
Yeah. It's a dozen dozen. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Huh.
But a baker's gross is more.
Because it's 12 thirteens,
I think. Or maybe it's 13 thirteens. I don't know.
No, it'd be 12 thirteens.
Yeah, yeah.
Not 13 dozens.
Mm-mm.
But I guess that would work out the same.
I think, yeah, based on
it's
math.
12 times 13 and 13 times 12, those are the same.
Which brings us to 2005.
I saw a thing on the internet. Uh-huh. We're going great.
Yeah, perfect.
I saw a meme that was like, unpluralize a movie.
Oh, yeah, and like Jaw.
Yeah, like Jaw. And the one right under that, I put Jaw was the example. The one right under that was a crow on the Orient Express.
Perfect.
So I thought that was great. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about the series finale.
Mm-hmm.
Their title is One Last Ride. And this is, you know, it starts with the team in the park's office. For some reason, Ben has an office. Gary has an office. He's the mayor, but they're starting in the parks office to recap the parks time that they all had. And we're jumping in midstream here with Leslie talking about 2005 and the Circle Park renovation and Tom joining the team. And everybody is bored out of their mind as Leslie is sharing all of this. And Ron is like, can we just hit the highlights? Can we keep moving?
Mm-hmm.
And so Leslie starts looking through her note cards and then decides on whether or not to get up to talk about the pod based coffee machine. And Gary and Leslie wrote a number about it, which pays off later. And April is just like, can we just shake hands, pretend like we liked each other, and get out of here? And And Ron's like, I'm all for that. And they both just stand up and shake hands and they would be happy there. But Les's like, no, we'll never be together again. And like this. And then some guy comes in and asks to fix a swing. They're like, no, we can't do that. Come back in 2 hours.
none of us work here.
Yeah. None of us work here. We're just in the room, which is so weird.
Who are you people?
But Andy is like, anything is possible if you follow your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Karate.
Vote for me and all your dreams will come true.
Yeah. Vote for Pedro. Oh man, that movie's good. Yeah. And so the guy's like, all right, well, I'll come back later. And then Les's like, no, we will help you because that's what we do. We help people. And so, and this is probably, I think, the best part of the reason for this episode, and I think it's so great, is forget about these old stories. Let's make a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And watching this episode again, I just remembering, like, this is a clip show for the future.
Right.
Right? Instead of a retrospective, let's look ahead. And so while these stories and these characters are no longer going to be filmed for this weird documentary about a parks department in Indiana, they're still going to make stories. They're still going to continue on. We just don't get to see them all, which I like. That's a good framing for how to end this series.
Yeah.
So
and also good framing is the guy who comes in to get the swing fixed, to start the whole thing, is played by the same guy. I don't know. I'm assuming in this universe, he was the guy in the slide that Leslie pushes
down. Was he really?
Yeah. John Daly, the actor. I don't know what his character's name was. Drunk guy in a slide. So even this guy that we hadn't seen, but the bookend guy, he had an arc because he comes in clean shaven, in a suit, asking for a swing to be fixed, assuming, you know, I'm hoping he has kids and is trying to make his area nicer too. So he's come full circle, which is pretty great.
Yeah, I do like that.
Good job.
Wow.
Good job, guys.
Look what getting pushed down a slide with a broom can do to change your life.
Yeah, publicly.
Yeah, public shame still works, guys. Still works.
Keep it going.
Okay, I don't know. So they decide to fix the swing. Everybody's all in. And then Gary comes out dressed as a coffee pot and he starts singing the song. And I love Tom. He's like, Gary, come on. You're the mayor now. Have some dignity. So they decide that they're going to fix this slide, the swing. And the problem is they don't have any logins. They don't have any access to current information. And so the first step is to fill out the equipment recreation form. They're kind of hosed here, but then Donna is like, oh, I found one in Leslie's scrapbook. Thanks. Form the memories. So for some reason she was keeping scrapbooking blank forms, which was a whole thing. So they start by filling out the form, and throughout the episode, Leslie will address each cast member and touch them. And through her magical planning powers, she will be able to see glimpses of their future. And we, as the viewers, are invited in along the ride into the future.
Now, do you think she saw the future, or do you think this is just a device so that we can see the future?
I think this is where the show takes a mystical turn.
Who knows?
And she can see the future.
She stepped up from the beginning.
Yes, yes. And that's why she's always been so detail-oriented and planned out. It's like, if I get all of the steps right, this future will come to pass.
Or maybe she's a time traveler, and so she's able to stop time so that she can get all of those things done at night, like sew pillows and bake cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she's got maybe that thing that Hermione had, that clock that she could take multiple classes at one time.
Yeah, the time turner.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows? Who can say?
But it's probably just like, this will be a good way to end the show. I don't think Leslie really has
powers
because she doesn't actually exist. So.
Mm. All right.
You know, this isn't a true story, right?
Oh. The way it was, I mean, I've seen documentary. I mean, the way they look at the camera, they talk, there's interviews. Yeah. I mean, it was basically a Michael Moore documentary, right? It was like a really long.
It was Roger and me.
Yeah, Pawnee and me.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, whatever. Okay. Well.
Sorry, man. Sorry to break it to you, but they fill out the form, and then they got to go up to she's thanking Donna, and this is the first picture that we have. And she asks, when do you guys leave for Seattle? And so she's moving out there. She has to get a real estate license. And so as soon as that goes through, she's going forward. And so then we get this picture of Donna showing a house for 3,400 square feet and a view of Puget Sound where you can see them building the new Space Haystack around the Space Needle.
I got to say, I think this was one of the weakest jokes in the entire series. And I'm biased because I live in Seattle and I think the haystack and the needle, I get it, but no.
No, I also, sorry, that's kind of dumb. Yeah. I don't really like that at all.
But I did like that it's 2023 and they predicted the massive, you know, housing boom.
Yes.
And it was, you know, earlier this year, it's slowed down, but holy smokes, the last couple of years has been insane up here. So once again, predicted the future.
My question is, where are you going to find a 3,400 square foot house that has a view of Puget Sound and the Space Needle? Because
Capitol Hill,
I guess, but is there anywhere in Capitol Hill that actually has a 3,400 square foot house?
I don't know. There's some big houses up there.
There are, but they're actually on the other side of the hill where you can't see.
Oh, sorry, Queen Anne Hill. Queen Anne. How about that? Back side of Queen Anne.
But if it's on the back side, you can't see the sound.
When I say back, I mean the south side.
Okay. I thought you meant the back, is the east, the north. Everybody knows.
All right. This is a whole nother discussion, but we don't have time for this.
Okay.
What is the backside? How does a hill work? That's what I mean.
So south side of Queen Anne.
Yeah. All right. I think.
So a 3,400 square foot house on the south side of Queen Anne. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. What was right, as she's recapping this with Joe, is it sold in 2 hours.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
It's probably, so crazy.
And probably sold for well over asking.
Yeah. Easily $48 million. It was listed at $280,000. It was a bidding war. It was awful. People died. But this nice Chinese family is going to store their motorcycles there. So
what?
Because there's so many people who are just buying homes other countries, Vancouver, like China and Vancouver, Washington.
Vancouver, British Columbia.
Yeah, there's a lot of international buyers that are just buying houses. And yeah, so anyway, it's crazy how this Seattle market is. But yeah, I do not like the Space Needle joke. I think we can all agree. Let's end it there. Let's call it.
All right. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, that's the next. So Donna and Joe are talking at their house. Okay, another problem with this whole Seattle dynamic that I have is how bright the light is when they're showing the house. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's real. I mean, it's sunny right now. But it is you look outside and it's look at all the happiness out there.
Yeah.
That's not really a thing here.
I mean, there is a window of about 17 days where that's true.
Yeah. And then that same evening, then they are outside eating dinner and they have a outdoor fireplace, which is great. But I don't know if anybody in Seattle has anything like this.
Yeah. You have an outdoor fireplace. And you use it about 17 days a year.
Yeah.
Even with it covered.
Yeah. There's no place. It's just not believable.
It's okay.
It's just irresponsible.
I like how we've suspended our disbelief up till this point. And now that they are talking about actual Seattle, you're like, no.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from here. So it's hard to suspend your disbelief when it is a place that you know is real.
Right.
This isn't how this place works.
Much like
the only thing they got right was how expensive it is.
Much like Middle Korea.
Yeah. That was great. Thank you for getting me back to the positive. Because they're talking about their next adventure quest, and Joe, like, Middle Korea is so beautiful.
Yeah, they're going to go, because I guess they go on a really nice trip every year.
Yeah, and so...
And they can't beat last year.
No, no. But Donna wants to go to the Amazon, which sounds really great and beautiful and exciting and expensive. And Joe's like, this will be great because I, like, work is terrible. They cut the math club and math. They just don't teach math anymore. So, yeah, which I don't know if they've been really teaching math for a while. So my kids, yeah. So Donna gets to thinking about how to help Joe. And so she calls up Satan's niece, which turns out is April. April comes out to see Donna, and they're catching up on the time they were in Venezuela and all this different kind of stuff. And Joe's like, hey, what are you doing here? And they talk about how Donna wants to take some of the money from her sale of this multi-million dollar 3,400 square foot house.
With views of the Space Needle and Puget Sound.
Yes. Take some of the commission from that and start a foundation for education for teachers to be able to start clubs and stuff after school. And they call it Teach Yourself.
Which is so the kids just get computers and have to figure it out.
Yeah. Which is basically how life has been for our kids for a couple of years now. You got a computer now. Look it up. I'm going to be over here making reels about how teaching sucks. Is that a thing?
That's why we invented AI kids.
Yeah.
Just ask ChatGPT.
I'm just here to grade ChatGPT's papers.
In fact, you guys don't have to come to school anymore.
Yeah. So the future's looking great. Donna, Joe's like, I don't know how I want you to spend this money how you want. And I was like, this is how I want to spend it. She's lived all her dreams, and now she wants to help Joe live some of his. And so it's pretty awesome that this is all coming together. And so then it zooms back out to the office, and Craig comes in, and he's freaking out at how messy it is. And Leslie then asks Craig to sign the requisition form. And so she's like, when I first met you, Craig, I thought, wow, there's a man who loves his job. And then I was like, oh, wow, he's intense. No, he's insane. That person is psychotic, and I need to call the police. Craig's response is like, yeah, that's usually how it goes. Yeah. So then she's like, but you've come so far. I'm so proud of you. Parks Department's in good hands. And she touches him and uses her future powers again to look into Craig's future. And he's singing at Tom's Bistro, and it's like, wow, Craig has a really nice voice. This is great. And Tom comes over, and he's like, nice crooning. And the gentleman over there sent you a glass of wine and his business card. So Craig is looking at it, and he looks up, and it's Typhoon. And his response is, okay, fine. But we also get a little hint with Tom as he's walking away. He's like, so as you all know, and so that's Tom's story picks up at the same place later. Then we fast forward to Horatio Sands officiating a wedding for Craig and Typhoon.
All right.
And Ron, as we said last week, Ron is their best man. And so Ron and Typhoon just met, just last episode, and like, Ron being a best man in anyone's wedding is a miracle upon miracles. So something happened with this relationship with Typhoon and Ron that is like really meaningful that we don't get to see. Then fast forward again, and they're on a space plane with like all glass, the most luxurious plane I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And they're eating dinner, and it's like their anniversary. And Typhoon says, Craig says, do you have any regrets? And Typhoon says, no, not a single one. Do you have any? And Craig is like, are you kidding? Thousands. Most recently, this trout. So sweet and nice. And it's like, it's such a great like build up for like Craig to still be Craig.
Right.
I loved it. So
yeah. Cause who orders trout on a plane? I mean, that's a closed area, man. Like,
yeah.
Microwave some fish.
Yeah.
Come on.
All plain food is essentially microwaved. So they are microwaving fish on a fart tube. It's like, this is terrible. So, but maybe the future makes fish less stinky.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely, you know, up there with opening a bag of beef jerky on the plane. Both been there.
Yeah. What's a daisy? I didn't realize this was so pungent.
Teriyaki birdcage?
It must be the air pressure and the altitude. So that's why I'm also crying on this plane. Was I watch Daddy's Home 2. So the next step, they got to get the this form. Craig signed it. They got to get it approved. So they have to go up to the fourth floor. April and Andy are going to go because April's like, this is the weirdest place on earth. I'm in. And Andy calls shotgun for the elevator. And then also push all the buttons. So they go up there and they go see Ethel Beavers, who quickly is over her grief, having lost Mayor Gunderson in the last episode. Mm-hmm. She's using her tablet, her Grizzle tablet, and they're like, Ethel, we need you to file this. And she's like, we've gone digital. Get with the times, you Luddite. So then she files it, and Andy starts to like think like, April's talking about, I'm gonna miss all the fourth floor, the disturbing murals, the ominous lighting, the creepy people. Pan out, there's Kyle. Wondering what Kyle does in this whole building. Like, he was a lawyer or worked in legal or something, but turns out he also is right across from Ethel's desk for some reason. April is missing things, and then Andy's like, I'm gonna miss the food, Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut. Mm-hmm. And he looks at April, most of them, I'm gonna miss you, Leslie. And Leslie's like, well, that's great, but all those things, including me, will be with you in Washington. And Andy doesn't seem to believe it. So it's a great sentiment. So Leslie's like, whatever happens, Ben and I are always there with you. And they go in for a hug, and April seems to not want the hug, which is on point for April. But then we fast forward to their future, and Janet Snakehole is in distress of some sort. The thieves are trying to steal the legendary Snakehole Sapphire, and Burt Macklin is there because that sapphire has the power to activate the Cuban Missile Crisis. Mm-hmm. So they are intense. And so April is like, she loves it when he takes charge, or Janet, like, I love it when you take charge. Make love to me, you fool. And then the doorbell rings, and Bert's like, rain check on that, all right? They're here. So they go out, and what is here? It's Halloween, and they're trick-or-treaters, and Andy loves them all so much, and he gives them all kinds of candy. And one of the kids dressed up there is Star-Lord. Mm-hmm. Has a little Star-Lord mask on, so that's cute and fun. Because I don't know if you know this, but Chris Pratt is Star-Lord. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, small world, right? So when he's not Star-Lording, he's pretending to be Burt Macklin of the FBI.
When he's also not trying to save an island from dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in doing so, he's really saving all of us from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So later, April is in the kitchen saying, hey, we got to hurry up, and we got to get moving. Just put all the candy in a bowl. Andy comes in and she's like, what's wrong? Did you eat all the candy? He's like, no. Well, yeah, but that's not what's wrong.
Yet.
And he's like, seeing all those kids, it makes me want to put a babe in you, babe, which is the weirdest way to say that. And April's like, I don't want to have kids. Yes, it would be awesome. All the gross stuff my body would go through. But I don't want to bring a kid into this world. That's disgusting.
Andy's like, no, they wipe all the disgusting stuff off immediately.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that, babe. No, they take care of it for you.
Yeah, the doctors are there. I mean, doctors and nurses, what are they other than baby cleaners? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, April does not want to have a kid. Andy is kind of bummed. They go over to Ben and Leslie's house. Leslie's like, hey, it's good to see Janet Snakehole and Burt Macklin. And they're like, what are you dressed as? And Leslie is dressed as Sandra D. O'Connor. And so it's a combo costume of Sandra D. from Grease and Sandra Day O'Connor from the Supreme Court. And And April's like, who's Sandra D? And Andy says, who's Sandra Day O'Connor?
Perfect.
Which is a perfect summation of their engagement with Leslie's life. And then Ben, turns out he is the lamplighter from the sequel to Cones of Dunshire, Winds of Tremora, which Gameplay Magazine called punishingly intricate.
And that is one of my favorite jokes.
Yes.
Because you and I have engaged in some very intricate games and could only imagine how much more intricate the sequel would be to the original.
Yeah. Just seeing them play it one time and how many dice are involved. Just throw it across the whole table. Just
like 30 dice.
I just can't even. So, so that was an excellent little joke. Punishingly intricate. And just the way he
he's proud of that.
Yeah. Like, this is the best thing in the world. Before we dialed up here, I was looking at YouTube videos of board games. So I love this stuff. It was kind of going through my subscriptions of board game videos, trying to see which one I wanted to watch. So I didn't get actually watch any of them.
Okay.
But I was trying to put a little playlist together for later.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, let me know if you come across any good games.
I will. Okay. Did you know there's a Camel Up card game?
No.
Yeah. We just bought that. We haven't played it yet, but we just bought it. All right. Anyway.
Sounds good.
So Andy's like, where are the kids? And Ben is like, they're out trick-or-treating. It's just the grown-ups tonight. And he's like relieved, but it looks like Andy is going to die.
Yeah. Just slumps down in the couch.
And not in a subtle way.
No.
And so Ben and Leslie make eye contact and Ben's like, why don't you go help me in the kitchen real quick? And so Andy follows him. He's like, what do you need? And he's like, oh, nothing. I just wanted it to seem like you wanted to talk. And he's like, whoa, that's a secret agent stuff right there. So what I appreciate about this, though, did you ever watch Friends?
Not really, no.
Okay. In Friends, they would try to have side conversations, but you've seen the living room, right?
Right. Very
living
open,
room, kitchen.
Open concept.
Very open. So like Monica would bring Rachel over into the kitchen to have a side conversation that she didn't want anybody else to hear, but she would speak at a normal volume. Mm-hmm. And like,
we can all hear you.
Yeah, they're all right there. And we just had to believe, like, no, it's too far away. They can't hear. And so what I appreciate about this is they actually had to go to a different room and they let the different room happen so they could have this conversation. And Andy talks about wanting to have kids. And, talks about how he was playing it yesterday. He was at the park and saw like a bunch of 8-year-olds laughing and playing and having a good time. I almost started crying. Granted, I had just face planted on my rollerblades and that's why they were laughing at.
Ben, sure.
And so then April is like with Leslie, like, I know what you're saying. We should have kids because they're great and they change your life and drive you nuts, but it's worth it. Beauty, majesty, glory, all those morning faces, blah, 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 blah. Right. And April's like, but you guys got lucky. You had sex one time and you had 3 kids and they're all way cooler than you and your lives are perfect. So she's like putting all the reasons not to have kids. And Leslie, calmly, out of character for her, is basically like, no one's life is perfect, but you have kids because you're a good team and you want to bring more people into your team. And she's like, so should we have kids? And Leslie says, I don't know if you should have kids, but I like your team. Which is like the best advice you can give to somebody who doesn't know what to do is not tell them what to do.
To tell them to go watch an episode of Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Here, go watch this episode of Parks and Rec and then let's talk about it later. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast recommendation. Start at the beginning. They'll start with episode 1 and then they'll go to season 8, episode 1. And then they'll go back to season 1, episode 2. It's fine.
You'll know what to do after that. Trust me.
Yeah. It'll all work out. So then fast forward to April and Andy and Dr. Saperstein. Because for some reason, they went to Pawnee and brought all of their like baby stuff. Like they're going to have a baby and they take it all to the hospital, like their go bag or whatever. With like art, like picture frames and all. It's a lot. And maybe that's what people do now. I don't know. Dr. Saperstein is the only OBGYN in Pawnee. He's there to help them. April is dressed up like some kind of like haunted demon. And
I'm gonna go with like more exorcist. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So possessed.
Possessed. Yeah.
And babe, Andy's like, babe, you look more beautiful now than I've ever seen you. And Dr. Zapstein looks at her, wow, just your luck that you're going into labor on Halloween. And he's like, can we wash this makeup off? And he was like, no, I put it on after I went into labor. and so they're going to have this baby. And Andy, she's like, put on the birth mix. And they play Monster Mash. So, which is gross. Baby's born, and then Andy and April are laying in the bed together looking at their baby and trying to come up with a name for the baby. April's suggestion is Demon Spawn Baby Satan Dwyer. And Andy's like, yeah, I like that. Or maybe Bert Snakehole Ludgate Karate Dracula Macklin Demon Jack-O-Lantern Dwyer. We call him Jack for short.
Perfect.
yeah, it's a great name. And so then Leslie and Ben come and they want to see the baby. And she's like, I want to see my godchild. I'm assuming I'm the godparent, right? We can talk about that later. And Ben's like holding gifts. He's like, congrats. I know it came unexpectedly, but pretty cool. He was born in Pawnee. So now you can be president of Pawnee, I guess. And he's like, I have so many presents. It's weird. And he's like, yes. Oh, for the baby. Just put them over there. Leslie asks the name and it's Jack. And Les like, that's good. Welcome to the team, little guy.
Do you think she liked the name? I mean, Jack is a good name, but do you think she was almost more relieved that it wasn't something like Demon Karate Hellspawn Dwyer? Like, do you think that's when she was like, oh, that's good? Like, that's what I took away. Like, she was almost more relieved that they didn't call him something ridiculous like Aeon Flux or whatever.
I don't know. I just really thought Leslie was just happy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know.
We'll let it be that.
You can have whatever feelings you want to have.
Okay. Thanks.
So they might be wrong, but no, go for it.
It's all right.
So then we cut back to the fourth floor and Ethel is just like, take this down to maintenance. they head out and Les like, I know just the person to accompany me. And Kyle's like, I'm a little busy right now.
Not you, Kyle.
So the person to accompany her is Tom Haverford. And she's talking about all the great things they've done, how many times we've gone to maintenance. And it's like, it's just like that we make this journey one final time. And Tom has had earbuds in. And he's like, what's that? Nothing.
But they had a wire. That was the only thing. Like,
yeah, I still use the wired earphones sometimes. You know, if the batteries on my AirPods are dead, I'll plug in the old lightning connector into my phone, which is the dumbest thing. But yeah, I did it last weekend.
Now, so, who's the Luddite now?
Yeah, I just go retro. So
okay.
Yeah, retro to like 3 years ago. So they're on their way to maintenance, and who do they run into? John Raphael Saperstein in a wheelchair. And he's like, hey, what are you two bad Larrys up to? And I don't know what a bad Larry is, and I refuse to look it up. Les like, this is our last day in Pawnee, and we have one last problem to fix. And John Raphael stands up. He's like, hold up, you're leaving for truth? And he hugs Leslie and sniffs her hair. And he's like, I'm going to miss you so much. And he's like, wait, you're not injured? Yeah, I'm injured. I got a terminal case of give me to the front of the line at Six Flags. Shaboosh. And then Tom and John Raphael do their little handshake, and it ends with, it's a winter wonderland.
Well, they blow something out of their like palms
snow.
First.
Snow. Yeah. I don't know why.
Totally, totally a drug reference.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't know. Maybe not.
And so John Raphael is, well, I'm sad to see you go, but you'll do me one final kindness. Will you pretend to be my wife for an insurance scam? But then we fall in love for real. Also going to have a pair of your gym socks. Don't worry. It's not for anything worse. It's just a fetish I have. Leslie's like, puts her hand on his shoulder. Like, although I truly hope I never see you again, I do wish you a long and happy life. And this is in 2017 as all this is happening. Cut to John Ralphio's headstone. And it 1985 to 2002. And we are at the funeral of John Ralphio Saperstein. And the rabbi is like, today we say goodbye to John Ralphio Saperstein. As per his last will and testament, we will now listen to his favorite song, Bend Over by Lil Jon featuring Tyga. And then that song plays.
I just love the pan across all of the people going, what is happening?
Yes. And then it zooms out to John Ralphio and Mona Lisa. And they're like, okay, they bought it. Do you have the insurance money? No doubt, no doubt. And so they are going to start a casino in Tajikistan. And then they start singing that word, Tajikistan. And the rabbi is like, John Ralphio? So they have to run. And John Ralphio's running. He's like, Tajikistan is off. Tajikistan is off. So then back to the hallway with John Ralphio and Leslie and Tom. John, she's like, so we have the swing to fix. So let's go. And John Ralphio's like, Leslie, I've always loved you. She looks at him and is like, I know. And he jumps up and does a little kick thing. And that's a great little send off for John Ralphio.
And I like how in his future, and then with Mona Lisa Saperstein in there as well. So she didn't get her, you know, in the now timeline, but in his timeline, she got a final like scene too.
Yes.
So they're wrapping everything up.
They're bringing it all together. So they go to maintenance and, Leslie's talking about all that Tom's accomplished but they find out that the door is locked because maintenance is closed on Friday. And Tom is going to solve the problem. So then Leslie's like, oh, you've done so much. I'm so proud of you. And Tom's like, I'm proud of me too. she puts her hand on his shoulder, and then we get the future again. And this is where we run into Tom's story at the bistro, giving the card to Craig, and then moving through to talk to his investor or his consultants. And his consultants are Ron and Ben and Donna. So he's talking about all of the big things that he wants to do, and he wants their advice, and everything looks good, and we're not really sure what it'll all mean, but he wants to have this huge expansion opportunity, you're set up, you're good to go, real estate's good right now, and so taking their advice, he's like, all right, we're doing this. In the next 5 years, there's going to be 20 Tom's Bistros across America, and look out world, Tommy's about to blow up. It cut to a documentary with Tom narrating, very much like he did with the Lil Sebastian documentary. Yeah,
with a very, very poor accent.
Yeah. And blow up he did, but not in a good way. You zoom out from the TV and he's watching this documentary that he made for himself, and he's very sad. And Lucy's like, you got to stop watching that. I can't turn myself away. The whole documentary about my failures. And Lucy's just like, that you made.
And worst of all, swaggerless.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. This documentary reminded me of the Michael Jordan.
Last Dance.
Last Dance.
Yeah.
Much like The Last Dance, it was funded by the person who the documentary was focused on. Mm-hmm. So I just found that to be hilarious. So Tom doesn't really know what to do with his life. He's lost everything. And Lucy is like, you know what? You had a tough break. Stock market tanked, credit dried up. Who could have predicted that the country would run out of beef?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just got to move on. But he just doesn't know what to do because he was so responsible and he still went broke. And Lucy's like, well, we'll come up with something. We'll be fine. You always come up with new ideas. So then we cut to Tom giving a speech talking about his past failures, Entertainment 720, Tommy's rent a swag, and then Tom's bistro. They all failed. But America's not just built on second or third chances. Mm-hmm. It's about fourth, fifth, sixth, 20th, and 50th chances. And that's how I got to where I am today. Best-selling author of Failure, an American Success Story. So then he is talking about the different kinds of people in his book that he is profiling. And so we have Andy, and each person has a slide and three characteristics. And these are all folks from the Parks Department: Andy, April, Ben, Leslie, Don, Ron, Donna, or Tom. But who do you never want to be? A Gary.
Everybody in the audience. Yeah. Out. Everybody yeah. knows already.
And Gary is there. He's like, he's talking about me. So afterwards, Tom is talking with Leslie and Ben, and he's like, thank you so much for all you've done. You've always been there for me. I inscribed you a copy of my book. And Ben reads it. He's like, when I think of success, I think of you. You are a true inspiration to me. I love you.
Aww.
Tom Haverford. And Tom's like, oh, that's actually for Kendrick Lamar. Here's yours.
It's about right.
Open it up. And Leslie says, best wishes. I mean every word of it. So then zoom back out to the outside the maintenance office. And Leslie's like, so how are we going to fix this? Do we hold a public forum, have a rally, smash the door down and do some looting? And Tom's like, no, we're just going to call the most powerful man in Pawnee. Cut to Gary Gergich, mayor of Pawnee. And he just calls up Jim. He's like, hey, hate to bother you, but two of my best friends, Leslie Knope and Tom Haverford, busts up. We need the first floor maintenance room open. Okay, great. My best to Luis and the girls. And so he's just winning by positivity.
Right.
Gary Gergich. So good. So you're all set. And Leslie's like, oh, you saved our butts. I'm so happy that you get to be mayor. Are you enjoying yourself? And he's like, yes, this is great. I know it's ceremonial, but I just don't know how my life could get any better than this. And Leslie's using her future powers again. cut to Pert Hapley saying, in a turn of events, both shocking and unexpected, interim mayor Gary Gergich was officially elected today thanks to a massive write-in campaign. And so he is interviewing Mayor Gergich. What are your plans for your actual first term? He's like, oh, I don't know. I have no idea. This is so crazy. I just hope I do a good job. And I promise I'm going to try my best.
How refreshingly honest.
Yeah. And then another cut. And Gary is being sworn in by Brandy Max, the president of city council. And we come to find out that this is his fourth term that he's being sworn into. And then cut again to Morris swearing in Gary Gergich for his 10th time, proving conclusively that in these corporate states of America, it's the entrenched powers who hold all the cards.
Oh, thank you, Councilman Morris.
Gary just does not take any of that. He's like, thank you. And then cut to old Gary and Vampire Gale, Ageless Gale. At his 100th birthday.
Yeah.
And they are celebrating his wonderful life. And Gary's like, I have had the perfect life. I've had the perfect marriage, the perfect children, grandchildren, and great grandchildren. I just love you all so much. And so they all get together to have a big old family picture for the Gergiches. And then next cut, we learn that Mayor Gary Gergich died, a newscaster saying, died peacefully in his sleep on his 100th birthday, holding the hand of his beloved wife, Gail. And then it cuts to the place, what is it called? Cemetery.
Yeah. And the dead holding.
The dead holder place. Mm-hmm. And so Ben and Leslie are there. And Ben is like, man, Gail looks amazing. And I was like, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And so the person officiating the service is like, Gary will now be given the Indiana Notary Society's highest honor, the 21 stamp salute. And there's just seven notaries. They stamp the casket three times. It's so weird.
The officiant was Pillboy.
It was Pillboy from The Good Place. Yeah.
And his character's name is Minister Zorpax 7. So
reasonablest came back into power.
Reasonablest. Well, did Gary get converted? You know, I don't know.
Oh, maybe he's always been a reasonablest. Just couldn't make it to that one meeting. So, Ben then notices that they spelled Gary's name wrong on the tombstone. And it was like, yeah, close enough. Yeah. Which is what is great about that is the people who decide what's on the tombstone are the family.
Right.
So that's on them. And then somebody comes up and speaks to them both and says, it's time to go. Like, so a Secret Service type person.
Right.
Which then is like, what is happening right now? So exciting. So here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the primary person that this Secret Service person is protecting?
Leslie Knope.
You think it's Leslie?
I do.
All right. Me too.
Due to future events and information we find out in the future.
In this episode.
Yeah, today. We'll find out later.
Yeah. In just a little bit.
Moments from now.
Yeah, as soon as we get through this section where we're talking about finding out later.
Yeah, because that's where the anticipation is.
Yeah.
Really, when you drag it out and make it last longer than it needs to be, almost where it's like annoying.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, we get it, guy. Stop. But there's no one there to actually do that. Except unless you're just talking to yourself.
They then go to the park and Leslie is with Shauna and she's like, how's this for a headline? Still swinging. Park gang reunites it for one last bang.
Mm.
Shauna, it's a little dirty. It's like, well, sex sells. So Ron is fixing the swing and he fixes it all up. He says, I calculate the cost of my labor at $38.
Wow.
I wish. I can send you the bill. And so Les is like, are you going to stick around here? And he's like, I don't know where I would go. And she said, well, we'll come back a lot. And you know what they say, don't be a stranger. So she reaches over and holds Ron's hand, which is like a massive thing that Ron would let anybody else touch him.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to the future and Trevor, the only lawyer in town, is giving a financial report essentially and saying how the company is in good hands because of the stewardship of the chairman, Ron Swanson. Would you like to say anything, Mr. Chairman? And Ron stands up. He's like, I resign as chairman. As Trevor's talking, he's just Ron's staring off in the distance. And he gets up. He's like, I resign as chairman, effective immediately. And Trevor's like, why? Would you like to explain? Ron's like, No. So then Don, Ron's brother, is like, should we discuss your retirement package? He's like, just give me what's fair. And they're agreed. And then Ron's other brother, Vaughn, stands up. He's like, best of luck. Like, totally chill in most people's understanding of what's happening right now. And Ron's like, don't get emotional, Vaughn. You're embarrassing yourself. And he leaves. And Trevor's like, what just happened? So then we see Ron going to Ben and Leslie's house and probably in D.C. He shows her a picture and like, your family's amazing. They're wonderful. They must be very proud. And like, yes, Ivy was just accepted at Stanford University. And Ben's like, wow, it's going to be expensive. She's taking my advice. He's like, yes, I sold some of my gold and officially diversified my portfolio and zoom out. And they're at the Lagavulin distillery. And Ron now owns 51% of Lagavulin. And so Ron's pretty stoked. Zoom back to the living room. And so Leslie's like, so what brings you here? And Ron says, I'm at a crossroads and I made a huge mistake one time. We're not talking to you and I don't intend to repeat that error. So they go, Leslie's like, let's go for a walk. There's a cute little park nearby. It's the Washington Mall. It's the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Monument. They're right there and they're talking on this nice little bench. And
it's Leslie's bench.
Yeah. And so Ron's like, I don't know what to do. My kids are growing up. My days in an office feel like a waste. I would like to turn my attention to something bigger, make me feel useful, but I don't know what that is. And so Les is like, all right, say no more. I'm going to spend every waking moment trying to figure this out for you. And it's like, you want to stay for dinner? We're having steak. It's like, oh. But we're also hosting several members of the House Subcommittee on Foreign Affairs. I'll take that steak to go, please and thank you. So, cut to the Pawnee National Park and Leslie's there and she's meeting Ron and he's like, this is a great park that you have put together. If you had more meetings here, I would have come to them. And so like she's Ron just like, this is a great piece of land you saved. And she says, thank you. Would you want to run it? And so through some moving around of different folks, this position has become open. And Les like, I want you to take care of this place. And Ron's first objection is working for the federal government. Unless he cuts him off, like, you would be walking around the land alone. You live in the same town you've always lived in. You'd work outside. You'd talk to bears. Next argument. And he's like, well, there must be dozens of people gunning for the job. I wouldn't want to ruffle feathers. Am I qualified? And he's like, well, a few people might be annoyed. They'll get over it. As far as your qualification go, you're Ron Swanson. Stop being a dummy and accept. And so he's like, when do I start? And oh, right now. I signed up for you already. So then she introduces him to the rangers at the park, who some of them would definitely be annoyed because they are in line for these jobs. And Ron is just says, my name is Ron Ulysses Swanson. Your job and mine is to walk this land and make sure no one harms it. If you show up on time, speak honestly and treat everyone with fairness, we will get along just fine, but hopefully not too fine as I am not currently looking for any new friends. End of speech. So, yeah. So now Ron is the director of the park. The head ranger. And so he has his canoe there that he actually made himself, Nick Offerman. And he goes out and starts doing the work, listening to some Willie Nelson and throughout the park.
Paddling his canoe.
Yes. It's good. It's a good thing. So then cut back to the park and the swing and Leslie and, Leslie has a moment of panic and she tells Ben, like, I think we need to stay here forever and never change. And Ben's like, no, we have things to do. We got to pick up our kids. We got to catch that flight. And I was like, when will we all be together again? And he's just like, someday it'll happen. So then we cut to their future. They're in a nice house and this is 2022. And it is the White House, which is so crazy that that's how it all came. Like Joe Biden was the president in 2022.
Yeah.
Cause they're in his house and they're having all these people over and Jill Biden is like, we're great. You're all here. There's one rule, no shop talk. And so you have to wait till after dinner. I'm looking at you, Leslie, and Leslie just really wants to play charades. And Joe Biden, I was like, okay. Last time she was here for 3.5 hours. But while Leslie is talking to somebody, she says, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Joe Biden knows his way around a seafood risotto.
You've said that before.
So then this person presents the idea of running for governor, because the incumbent isn't going to run again. And so she's like, oh, wow. And so like, Leslie, you should run for governor. And Leslie's not thinking about it. And then we cut to, I hit my mic. And then we cut to Ben talking to some people. And Jen Barkley shows up and she like pushes people out of the way. And she's like, Jen, I didn't know you'd be here. And Jen's like, I'm everywhere. And just directly, you want to be governor of Indiana? So Ben has to think about this and Jen's like, you'd be perfect for this candidate, local hero, state government experience, blah, 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 blah. The only thing that could hurt you is that devastatingly nerdy Cones of Dunjar thing. And he's like, oh, that's a problem. I'm sorry, but the 9th highest selling multiplayer figurine based strategy fantasy sequel game in history. Please don't bail on me because of what just happened. So
I'm sorry, but it's a great way to start a sentence to defend yourself.
And so then later, Leslie and Ben are in the car and they're like, oh, something interesting happened to me. And she's like, the Janet from the DNC said I should run for mayor of Indiana. And Ben's like, oh, that sucks. And like, oh, what? Because Jen just approached me about running. And so then they realize that this is a problem. So they get back to the house and they are making a pros and cons list. And the pros and cons are the same for both people running for office. So they solved it. So then they're getting ready for dinner as they're talking about this and they call their kids out for dinner and they're like, it's dinner time. And they come running down and they basically Tasmanian devil all of dinner. And then they leave and all that's left is broccoli. Ben's like, well, you want some broccoli? And Les's like, ugh, no. So, So they have a plan to go back to Indiana, to Pawnee, and they're like, let's just go there and we'll think about it when we get back. And so they go to like the city hall, and they're walking through the parks department, and Les is like, oh, I should talk to Ron or Tom or April or Donna, Andy even. Sometimes he can be wise. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. We should call them, or we could talk to them in person. And they open the door, and finally Andy's right about yelling surprise. And so they're all there, and Ben is like, got them all there for her. And like, he's like, this is what you always wanted, right? These people in the same room at the same time. And Les like, I don't know how it could be better. And she's like, want to bet? And then Anne and Chris show up, and Leslie just freaks out that Anne's here.
Shoves Ben out of the way.
Yeah, it's all wonderful. They have the whole team together in one place.
Again, like at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, except now with Anne and Chris.
Right.
So that's why it's better. So they're all going to catch up for a while. Leslie is gives Chris a bunch of nicknames or descriptors for that he can use with Anne. Leslie talks about how Anne's hair looks great, and she's like, it's the pills I was telling you about. And Leslie's like, I took some of those. They didn't do anything, but they just upset my stomach. And she's like, oh, you're supposed to crack them and put them on your hair overnight. He's like, oh, well, that's confusing because they're delicious. And Tom's talking to Don about his book and failure 2.0, failing to fail. Ben is like, I took that your test too, and turns out I'm a Tom. I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit. So that's upsetting. But Tom is kind of upset with Donna because she's going nonprofit, and she's like, yeah, you're right. Maybe I have changed. By the way, what time is it? And she lifts up her wrist and she's like, it's 1:30 split out. Because the watch, she's got this really nice watch, a lot of diamonds. It's pretty exciting. Then Anne and April talk, and April's like, your kids are like surprisingly awesome. Did you give an egg donor or give Chris a hall pass for a night? And it's like, no, those are my children. So then we get the list of great descriptors for Anne. You rainbow infused space unicorn, you spassy sassy, you beautiful sassy mannequin come to life, you opalescent tree shark. Mm-hmm. That's all things that Chris will be able to use, which is better than the nutrient rich chia seed.
Sure.
And Chris is, and they're talking, and Andy comes by, trip trigger, you old son of a gun. And he's like, Andy, it's Chris. Is it? Ron meets Jack Dwyer, and just impressed with his handshake. And Donna's like, so are you guys going to try to have another one? And April like covertly is like, shh, and points to her, her stomach. And it's like, shh, cause he's sleeping. How can you tell? And then Ben is explaining, to Anne, some of the rules for Cones of Dunshire, and looks like she's going to die. And then Leslie comes along and is like, it's happening. Our kids are falling in love. And so one of her daughters and Oliver are talking. And so they're like, we have to pretend like this is bad. And if we want this to work, we have to pretend to disapprove. Leslie's daughter looks up, and Leslie's like, big thumbs up and like waving and like, yay. So she can't help it. Then we come to find out that Chris and Anne are going to come back, and he's going to run admissions at Indiana. So people are coming back to Pawnee. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Ron's like, I took your quiz. I'm a Ron. And Tom's like, I'm usually a Tom, but sometimes I'm a Donna. And then Ben like, yeah, last time I took it, I was a Tom. And so Tom freaks out. He's like, I gotta go recalibrate the quiz. So he leaves. And then we cut to Ben and Leslie talking. Like, did you talk to anybody about running for governor? And she says, no, we've been too busy catching up. Leslie's like, we should just flip a coin because, you know, no guarantee we're going to win. It's not like this is the only option for us. So yeah, let's just flip a coin. And Ben's like, you, the person who is like the most control person ever, want to flip a coin. And she's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. But everybody will participate. They'll sign it, and then that coin will eventually get into the Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. So they go out and let's like everybody gather around. First of all, it's great to have you all here in the same room. Our children are here. It's great. Greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of America. And secondly, Ben and I have an announcement, and Ben jumps in. Leslie is running for governor. And everybody's super excited. And Leslie is like shocked. And Ben's like, yeah, it just makes sense. Indiana native, supremely qualified. She wrote that she wanted to be governor in her kindergarten dream journal. So Leslie's running for governor. And Ben's going to run her campaign because he's a genius and he's got a tight, compact little body like an Italian sports car. Which is the exact qualification you want for a campaign manager. So she's running for governor. And then we cut to Leslie giving a speech about public service. She's talking
at Indiana, like a commencement speech, right?
Yeah. A commencement speech at Indiana University, Indiana State, University of Indiana. I don't know. It's a red school, communists. And, she starts talking about her job and her serving two terms as governor of Indiana.
That's why they're Hoosiers. Cause it's what? Who's your leader? Who's in charge?
Exactly right.
That makes a lot of sense now.
Communists.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Go on.
So Leslie talks about having two terms as governor and now a new unknown challenge awaits her, which is like president Leslie Knope. That's kind of what they're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gives the speech and everybody's, the whole Parks team is there and it pans across them. Like, it's so great to have people. You get to do the work with people you love. And so this concludes her speech saying, I thank those who have walked with me and I thank you for this honor. Now go find your team and get to work. And people cheer. And then the dean, I don't know, in honor of Governor Knope's honorary doctorate from the School of Public Policy in recognition of all she has done for the people of Indiana, the campus library will henceforth bear her name. And it cuts to Leslie. A sleeping library. So then back to the park, and Ron's like, yeah, that should do it. The swing is fixed. And that guy is there. And he's like, well, there you have it. Another problem solved by the hardworking, dedicated public servants. And he's just like, okay, great. Bye. And I was like, yeah, that's about right. Gary's like, we got to get a picture. Gail made me promise. And so they all get a group picture. And Tom's like, the lighting's all wrong. I'm going to send you a glamour shot. Just Photoshop me in later. And April, I'm not going to show up because I'm like a vampire. Mm-hmm. And he's like, for this picture, should I be Burt Macklin, Johnny Karate, or my new character, Sergeant Thunderfist, MD? And it was like, where'd you find that stethoscope? In the sandbox. Which the question is, why is that in the sandbox? That's terrible. And Donna's like, go Macklin. Macklin's the hottest. And so Ron just wants to get this over with. I can't hold the smile forever. I look ridiculous. And he has not been smiling. So they get the picture and Ben's like, are you ready? And Leslie says, yes, I'm ready. And that's it. Credits roll. And it's a bunch of bloopers over the Traveling Wilbury song. It's all right. You see the whole cast doing bloopers. And then Mike Schur says, that is a series wrap on Parks and Recreation. The end. We did it.
Wow.
Ah, man. Great, great finale.
What a journey.
It was.
What a journey it's been.
Yeah, I really love the end of this show. I think it ended wrapped really well. It's 9.5 on IMDb.
Yeah.
That's really, really impressive. When most shows don't know how to end. Like this and Breaking Bad, probably the best endings of series of all time.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
So
yeah, better than Seinfeld.
Yeah. I did hear a rumor from Jerry.
It's coming back.
Because we're close. That they're working on something.
They're going to retcon.
I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they get out of prison and they're just still terrible.
Well, of course. I mean, they have to be.
Yeah, that's all I really want.
More terribleness. Yeah, no, we'll this was this was a great, I think this is one of the best finales of really any, like you said, any show, you know, yeah, not just a, not just a sitcom. And I think it's because of the way they, like you said, it's a future clip show, and it allowed the, you know, closure for everyone for, you know, the time period that we knew them, but then also like in the Parks and Rec department, but then also that they have futures and it ends up well. It's like a pro, it's like, it's almost like an entire episode of post-credit epilogue of like, you know, any 80s movie. You know, so-and-so went on to do this. And
yeah, it's basically a tribute to Animal House.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. That's exactly. Yeah. That's what they were going for. So, but yeah, but I think that, and it worked, and it's like it, basically saying it's over, but it's not. And they're never, it's not that they're never going to see each other again, because they do all throughout these flash forwards. They all are still in each other's lives. So yeah. I just like that idea of the show lives on, even though we're not truly watching it, or there's not, you know, it just keeps going, which is right. And on so many other shows, just like, this is it. This is the end. And there's nothing after this.
Right. We're told our friends from Pawnee are going to be okay.
Yeah. And they're going to stay friends. Nice. And yeah, it's nice. It's comforting.
So, and they kind of did a similar type of thing with the Office finale, right? Where they fast forward to a year and a year later and, you know, everybody comes back for the last show, except for D'Angelo, because he's probably dead after a terrible dunk accident. I love D'Angelo Vickers. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. The air juggling.
I never touch another man's instrument.
did you ever see the one where somebody actually like computer generated the juggling balls?
No.
Into it? Oh, look it up. It's fantastic.
All right. I'll try to remember to do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, listeners, we are done.
This is it. I don't want to be done.
I know. How do you say goodbye? You got to sing some Boys to Men.
Let's fast forward. What are we going to do in the future, do you think?
You and me?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, tonight I'm going to watch Minority Report, which is also about the future. So
that's good.
That going for me.
Wow. That's a good segue.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably going to go to space.
You should go. You should totally go. Isn't that fun? That's fun.
Everything's fun.
Everything's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We're going to do more podcasts.
Yeah, we'll do more of this.
That's cool. I think we mentioned
next
it.
One up is Brooklyn Nine-Nine in the Mike Schur universe.
Yeah.
So podcast 99. So you may see our logo and graphics change.
Oh, man.
It's still us. It's still us, listener. So if you have any thoughts on Parks and Rec, please email us favorite moments of the show, your top four episodes or whatever. Send them to parksandconversation@gmail.com. Like and review, subscribe. Please leave reviews on speedysigns.com. And as always, you know, enjoy television, I guess. I've never actually said that before. So,
as I've always said,
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Enjoy television.
All right. Well, parting is something.
Gonna happen.
It's inevitable. Let it go. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, well, what do you think? I'm like the guy who just stands at the door as you're trying to like go to bed. Like continue that conversation. Just I don't want to let it go.
Yeah. You are like that guy. Well,
see ya.
Big gulps, huh?
Big gulps. All right. Well, but we do. We have one more wrap up episode. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
The retrospective.
I can. All right.
It'll be all right.
It's an outro. All right. Well.
All right. Talk to you later.
Until then.